you to know that for I've been with the Bible study since it began, and early in our days at New Life Cheshire, that was then on Camp Hill Road, Sue had asked if I would be willing to teach sometime. Well, my response to her was really pretty ghastly. I go, no way, I could never do that, and I quick ran away. I definitely let her know in no uncertain terms was I ever going to be interested in doing that, and don't even ask me. Well, since then, I've been the recipient of so many of everybody else's teaching, and the Lord blessing us, and the Lord has been nudging me along that, you know, this isn't about you, it's about me, and you really need to think about that. So, unfortunately, I chose to respond to Sue about that in front of a whole group of women when we were having our thank you and honoring Sue for her part in leading us all these years. And in that group, I said, you know, that the Lord was nudging me along and that I probably should do it. So Sue's response was, I will remember that. So this was like in February, so I thought, well, we got the whole list, the whole year taken care of. Next year, who cares about next year? It'll never come anyway. Well, guess what? I shortly after that got contact from Sue, and she goes, well, there's this opening in May, and what do you think? And it's like, okay, Lord, I didn't know you meant that soon. So so anyway, I have had lots of my dear sisters here praying for me, my family, and my small group, and I am thankful for this opportunity, but with fear and trembling. So I'd like to start us out by reading Psalm 91, and I really liked NIV for this particular chapter, so that's what I'm going to read. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, there are varying opinions about who wrote this psalm. All agree that it's either David or Moses. David, because he speaks in other psalms as the Lord being our refuge and fortress, and it's also similar to his message that he wrote in Deuteronomy 32. Others credit Moses because it sounds similar to Psalm 90, which we studied last week, but we don't know. We just know they're superheroes of the Old Testament, so I don't think we have to worry about it. In Matthew Henry's commentary, he considered this the happy psalm. And for this, I apologize to my sisters who have had to do some pretty difficult chapters for us in the last year, year and a half, and I get the happy chapter. When I think of happy, I'm reminded of the recent birth of our 13th grandchild, Haley Joy, who was born to our daughter, Nikki, and then their whole family came home to our house for a week to recover. Even though she is very tiny, Haley is so easily contented, dry diaper, full tummy, and she is good to go. The simple pleasures of life, thank you, Jesus. This psalm has also been referred to as the most beautiful words in the Bible. There are wonderful promises, and yet we see disease, pain, evil, death in the lives of believers, which still made this chapter a challenge after all. I recently listened online to Tim Keller speak on this chapter, and he breaks it into three sections: promises made by God, difficulty in understanding the promises, and three, the solution. So number one, promises made by God. The promises made in this chapter are kept by our God, who is our protector. The psalmist uses the example of a mother hen who protects her and gathers her young under her wings. And the chick is not only provided with safety, but is also cherished and kept warm. And when I thought of that picture, I thought again of baby Haley, who was only 6 pounds, and she always needed us to keep her warm. And so we were always wrapping her up in those great little swaddling cloths that they have now. And so that was a picture to me of how our Heavenly Father loves to care for us and protect us. And God also describes himself as a great man of war in armor. 2, difficulty in understanding the promises. Are we to literally believe that no danger, no arrows, or no diseases will come to us? God gives us many examples of that not being true. A good example of that in the Old Testament would be Job, who suffered greatly, and he trusted his God throughout his suffering, even though his wife and his friends were constantly hassling him to abandon God, as God had abandoned him, and to even curse God. But Job responds that his friends and wife were not telling the truth, that his loving Heavenly Father had not abandoned him and was caring for him. Scripture reminds us, and Keller does too, that Satan wants us to believe that bad things won't happen to us. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, Satan uses the words in Psalm 91 to tempt Jesus to not suffer and to not die for his people. Satan also throws his words at all of us to try and get us to reject Jesus as our Lord, just as Satan rejected Jesus. God does allow suffering to grow us, to bless us, and point us to our Heavenly Father who loves us greatly. Romans 8:31 tells us, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" I would encourage you to read the rest of Romans 8. It has such incredible promises for us in him, and especially in verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can only deal with the troubles in this life with Jesus. Our family has experienced numerous times when the church, God's people, have come alongside us and ministered to us with lots of prayer, yummy food, financial gifts, but even more importantly to Paul and I as parents, they've reached out to our kids when they are in those challenging years of teens and 20s, where they may be struggling big time, and where they may have even blown it by the world's standards. But they've reached out to them to mentor them, spending time with them, taking them out to dinner, praying for them, and loving them in very practical ways. At one time, there was even a small group of folks from our church who would meet with Paul and I to pray through these challenging times. You name it, and our family has been the recipients of Jesus' generous church family. And I don't think it gets any more real or any better than that. And I know many of you have experienced that love also. Sisters, if you are in need, please do not be silent. Please share with one or two of your trusted sisters in your small group or one of our pastors or elders. Jesus does not want us to suffer alone or in silence. That is the devil's plan, and that is not the Lord's plan. Luke 21:16-18 refers to believers being betrayed, suffering, and hated, but that we will not perish, but he calls us to have patient suffering while God preserves us for eternity. God promises that he will preserve us, and he will save the real you and me, even in death. He allows our suffering to refine us and make us more like Jesus. When my mom was alive, in the last 5 years of her life, she was living in a wonderful Christian nursing home, but it was in Chicago. Due to her advanced heart disease and dementia, we had decided that would be a good place for her. One of the many things that my sister saw happening to my mom during that time was that she was beginning to forget the names of her grandchildren and her son-in-laws, and eventually forgetting and did not recognize them at all. My sister and I would talk about how hard it would be if she forgot us and how painful that would be. But the Lord was so good. She always recognized us. She didn't always remember our names, but she still would call us Hunter Honey, so that was fine with us. But she still recognized us. In fact, when one of us would have to leave the room and come back in, no matter how short a time it was, she was so excited to see us all over again because she forgot we had been there. She goes, "Honey, why didn't you tell me you were coming? I'm so excited to see you." So we didn't pop her bubble and tell her. We just went to the bathroom. 3, the solution. God will grow and bless us in our struggles. We know that Jesus experienced many troubles and was betrayed, and tortured. But he is literally walking alongside us in our troubles. He promised to rescue us and save us by his grace. Our diseases cannot hurt us eternally because Jesus took our judgment on himself on the cross. We are all weak, sinful, and so messy. He will be with us in our suffering by faith in him, and he will grow us in this suffering. He also reminds us to not allow anything to harm. He will not allow anything to harm our spiritual walk with him. He also reminds us not to be in bondage to our own fear of our death or the death of those that we love. A challenge for us over the years was caring for our parents when they were battling various diseases and they were 800 miles away. And we also still had the responsibilities of our large family here. They each had various surgeries, treatments, hospitalizations, but the Lord blessed us with so many sweet visits with them one-on-one when they were going through all these struggles. And then also he gave them stretches of good health where we could also have more sweet visits with them. We were each able to be with our fathers when they died, but with our mothers it was more of a surprise, and obviously that was the Lord's timing for them also. God cares and protects us also through his angels to minister to us. And that's not just an angel, singular, but it's angels, plural. We figure with our big family, there's now 27 of us, the McQueens are keeping lots of angels very busy. No matter how fierce and strong some of our struggles may be, we will not be overcome. God himself is speaking and expressing safety and peace and great confidence to us. About 20 years ago, Paul and I made a very difficult decision that would affect our whole family, and particularly one family member. It was very, very painful, and I remember that day crying out to the Lord again and again, please show us, Lord, if this is the right thing to do, and if it's not, then reveal that to us too. Through our praying and with some input by a couple of wise, believing friends, we still felt convinced that we should move forward with this decision, and we did. What was it ever hard? Over the 20 years since then, I've occasionally thought about that hard decision, and I ask the Lord to continue to be at work. This past winter, God revealed to me through one of our children that this had been a good and right decision. And even though it was incredibly hard at the time. Now, I know that God did not have to show that to us, mm-hmm. but it was such a blessing and a comfort to Paul and I after all these years. Mm-hmm. In verses 14 to 16, God especially tells us, because you love me, I will rescue you. I will protect you, for you acknowledge my name. You will call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. I will show you my salvation and satisfy you with long life, although we all know that the length of our days are determined only by our Heavenly Father. Derek Kidner reminds us that these promises and commitments come from God to us. This bond is between helper and helpless and all a matter of God's great grace. God's expressions in this chapter are his abiding compassion, crowning gifts of glory, the length of our days, and a salvation no longer waited but seen. This psalm is a love letter to you and to me personally from our loving Heavenly Father. But do I really grasp how much Jesus loves and protects me? On my good days when I might be under the illusion that all is right in Elaine's world? Or on my tough days when there are struggles? When I'm involved in serving others, how's that going? I'm involved in our tutoring program here on Thursday nights. And what if I have a good night of tutoring? Or what if I have a challenging night? Do we see our needs and successes in light of what we want or how Jesus wants to use them? I would like to close in some other promises the Lord has made to us in Isaiah 40 and 41. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful for your word, for all these promises that you make to us, and you are the one that delivers on them. You are faithful, and we thank you, Lord. And I just ask you to be with my sisters as we go to our small groups. Please bless us there too, Lord, and just remind us day in and day out of your faithfulness, Lord, and how you love to forgive us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.